Now, the passage we're going to look at does involve a lot of John the Baptist. And I know it's not immediately linked with the Nativity, but John the Baptist was very important. So the question was, why was John the Baptist so important? John was born about 6 months before Jesus to an elderly couple who had no children. Elizabeth, she was past the age of childbearing and a relative of Mary. Zacharias was part of the priesthood in the temple. And Zacharias was part of the Abijah line, and Elizabeth was part of the Aaronic line, which is the priesthood line. Even though John was to be born first, he was not the greater. John was very much part of God's plan for salvation. John was the one who was prophesied about in the Old Testament. Because of the way he entered the world, it was clear to the people around that John was sent by God and something special. But John was also the last of the Old Testament prophets. But he was more than that. The people of Judah were looking for a prophet to come. They hadn't had one for quite a while, over 400 years. So when he turned up, the people were happy to accept him. So what better way for God to prepare the way for Jesus than to close the old and show the way to the new? So let's look at the passage. Verse 39. Actually, Sue started at 38, and that was my fault. Although when she started, I thought, that don't sound right. Anyway, verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judea, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Now Mary had been just gone through quite a momentous thing in anybody's life, but for Mary it was special. You can imagine, she wanted to share the news with people. But really, let's face it, who could she share it with? There she was, a single mother. There she was, single. She was betrothed to Joseph. And then all of a sudden she gets pregnant, not by the man she's betrothed to. A bit of an awkward situation. I mean, we know the story, because we've got good look back. So it must have been quite a problem for her. But there in Judah was a cousin who'd also got pregnant by miraculous means. So it's no surprise that Mary felt she could relate to Elizabeth. She must have heard the story of how Zacharias was muted by God because he didn't believe. Well, he laughed, actually. But it would seem to Mary that God was at work in Elizabeth's life and Zacharias' life. It can be very frustrating when you've something that you want to share with everybody and there's nobody there to share it with. So Mary thought, that's it, I'll go and visit Elizabeth. So Mary arrived at the house and greeted Elizabeth. The baby leapt in her womb. Now, I don't know whether that's possible or not, in normal terms. I hear it is. That was Vera, a midwife, so I presume it is true. But here we have that baby leaping. Now, obviously, I haven't carried a baby. I have no intention of doing. And I'm even the wrong sex, so it just ain't going to happen, is it? So I cannot understand what carrying a baby is like. But some of you can. It's bad enough carrying the baby, isn't it? Without it leaping around inside you. So just use your imagination, you know, as to what this is like. It must have been, and also, Elizabeth is not a young lady. You see, she's quite old. She's past childbearing age. And it must have been quite an experience. But that reaction of that baby, in a sense, was the first positive identification of Jesus, when you think about it. Now, Elizabeth, she was filled with the Holy Spirit when this baby was leaping around inside her. So, she pronounced in a loud voice. Notice the loud voice. It was nothing quiet. It was loud. It was there, a message for everyone to hear. So the houses weren't like insulated like ours. You know, in our house, if you stood in kitchen and you speak in dining room, you can't hear it. I think in those days it wasn't like that. So this message was for everyone. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Wonderful greeting. It's declaring that Mary is blessed, and the baby is blessed. Anyone who heard will be in no doubt that God was at work here, and something very special was going on. Elizabeth went on, but why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So she knew exactly who was in the womb of Mary. She knew that the Son of God was there. And blessed is she who believed. She believed it all, did Mary. And she was blessed for that. For there was fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Elizabeth was, in a sense, reaffirming what she'd heard. So it was confirmation to Mary of what she'd heard. But there was no jealousy, no envy, but pure delight. And she was not only had been blessed by her child, but by the mother of her Lord coming to stay with her. In a sense, a double blessing, really. She was pretty happy, I think. Elizabeth knows exactly what was inside Mary's womb. Mary is doubly blessed because she believes. And Elizabeth confirms that she has been told will come true. What an atmosphere there must have been in the household that day, at that particular moment. I hope you excuse me for this next phrase. It must have been like an evangelical meeting in an ultra-charismatic church. The Holy Spirit was bursting out all over. I apologise if that's... But it was a very special moment that, if anybody was witnessing it, would not have been any doubt what was going on. So, let's go on. It's called the Song of Mary. 46-56. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him. From generation to generation, he shows strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to the seed forever." And Mary remained with her for about 3 months, and then returned home. What an opening. Soul magnifies the Lord. Do we do that? Does our soul magnify the Lord? "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour." So she's praising God. We should always praise God, shouldn't we? No matter what situation we're in. During the good times, and even the bad times. Not always easy, but she'll still praise the Lord. Mary thanks God for choosing her a lowly maid servant, because she knows that from now on she has a place in history. Not just in world history, but in God's history. He could have chosen anyone, someone with wealth, someone with position. But no, he chose a humble maid servant. He raised her up with a great blessing. And that's God for you. He likes to raise up the lowly. He likes to bring down the proud. And why? Because the lowly respond. The lowly have servant hearts. The lowly are willing to humble themselves before a mighty God. I know this name of Scripture has a fancy name attached to it. It's a Magnificat, if I'm right, I think. But I'm not interested in fancy names. To me, it's Mary praising God for blessing the lowly maid servant with a child. Not just any old child, the Son of God. And trusting her to do such a big job, such an important job, bringing up the Lord and Saviour of mankind. Now it only says Mary stayed 3 months. Now if Elizabeth was 6 months and she stayed 3 months, in theory, I'd like to think she stopped while the baby was born. But don't say that. But, in a way, Mary was there to help Elizabeth to bring that child into the world. It's quite a responsible job. And as we say today, no pressure. Birth of John the Baptist. Now, Elizabeth's full time, this is 57, for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbours and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. What a happy moment for Elizabeth and Zacharias. Any child is a happy moment, but when you're past childbearing age and you're getting old, it must be extra special, especially when you know that God's at work. But I wonder what Elizabeth actually thought about it, though. She was advanced in years, which maybe suggests she was quite old. I haven't quite got to that stage yet, but I'm approaching it fast. How was she going to cope with a young baby? You can imagine that. I'm not going to name any names, but you can imagine if some of you actually got pregnant and all of a sudden had to start dealing with a young child. It's different with your grandchild. You can hand them back. I like them that bit. But it's full on, 24/7. It's like Jake and Danny with Alice. It's full on. You've got to try and imagine. It's quite a daunting task, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, you ladies will most probably appreciate more of this than the men, but so we don't know how old she is, but she's obviously getting on in years. And I should imagine, in reality, the last thing you want is to actually have a child at that age. But Zacharias had been praying for a child. But I should imagine it was when they were younger. Not for now. But here we have a godly woman who knows God has blessed her. And I'm pretty sure that she knows that God will give her the strength and provide for them. Just remember, when God asks us to do something and we respond, he will meet our needs always, so that you can achieve the task that he's given you. So trust God. Now, verse 59. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him by the name of his father Zacharias. His mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." So they were all marvelled. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now, I'm sure we all know that circumcision is a Jewish tradition, but also it's commanded by God. I'm being sarcastic here, just in case you think I'm going off tangent. Just by accident, the body of a baby, on the eighth day, the blood clots. Isn't evolution wonderful? No. No. God created the body to clot at 8 days for this very reason. You see how God provides? If he asks for something to be done, he will provide. It's only by design that this can happen. Now, naming the baby, it was traditionally done, named after the father or a family member. But again, no. They said no, it's John. Both of them said John. What was the reason for that? Because God said so. And they were being obedient. Now, today we call children anything, don't they? You know, purple cloud, or named after a celebrity, or quite often something weird. But no, they would name him as God named him, wanted him to be named. But not Zechariah. The minute he agreed with the name, his mouth was opened. All of a sudden you can't say anything. And then suddenly it opened. It's no wonder he was praising God. I think I would be. And there we are. Here we are. Now, Zacharias had asked, how do I know that this is from God? Now, if you know the story of Zacharias and how God stopped his mouth, Zacharias said to the angels, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the days these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which was fulfilled in their own time." That's Luke 1:18-24. But when they asked Zacharias to confirm the name, they were amazed when he said yes, and even more amazed when he started to speak and praise God. The people around suddenly realized God was definitely at work here. John became the topic of conversation, center of people's thoughts, and began to wonder, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And we need to realize that for 400 years they hadn't had a prophet. They hadn't heard from God. Heaven had been closed. And suddenly there in front of their eyes, things start to happen that were not normal. Supernatural things that could only come from God. Not surprising, they were fearful. And then finally we go on to Zechariah's prophecy. Now his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." But before the Holy Spirit came to dwell within us, the Holy Spirit would fill people for specific tasks. So this is the Holy Spirit speaking through Zacharias, who is delivering a message from God. It's a message that God has come to the earth in the form of Jesus. A horn of salvation, that seems a bit of a strange statement. But think about it. A horn on an animal is where it focuses all its energy, all its strength. It's the part it will use to focus on things. So he's saying Jesus is the focus of the work of salvation on earth. But he also comes from the house of David, as prophesied. Verse 70. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. And who's the one that hates us? Satan. So we're saved from him. That's good, isn't it? I like that bit. 72. We perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. And God reminds them of the holy covenant, the promise he'd made to their fathers. And this is the mercy of God, as promised. God never forgets his promises and always fulfills them. 75, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. It now changes to focus on John. 76, a new child will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel. John was to prepare the way for Jesus. He was a prophet from God, delivering an important message from God, that salvation was by the remission of sin. When Jesus started his ministry, the message was already out there. The people were ready for Jesus to come and fulfill the law and bring the new covenant. So we see that John was part of the plan. A human filled with the Holy Spirit, where Jesus was to follow fully human and fully God. He was the only one that could pay the price in full. There's a story of Martin Luther, who on those dark days and discouraging days we all have, and I know I have them, and I'm sure you do as well, we would say to himself over and over again, I am baptized. I am baptized. He affirmed that whatever was happening to him at that moment, he was a child of the covenant of God. And God had made him, made with his people. Try it. You might be surprised at the results. I know what I'm going to do next time I'm having a bad day. Which, this year, I must have had a few. Overall. But, through it all, God is there. Thank you for listening.